Hey listeners, Tommy here. We got a little carried away during this year's A-League season preview pod. I figured 3 hours is a bit much for one podcast episode, so I've split it into two. The first one, this one, is some broad discussion about the upcoming season, then our predictions for things like Golden Boot, Premiers, Wooden Spoon, etc. The next episode, which will be released concurrently, it will be our team-by-team previews. I hope you enjoy the pod overall, and thanks for tuning in. Manchester City is still alive here. Balotelli. Johnny. Is Aloisi replacing the World Calvaris?
Contatta con Tevez. Resiste un palo Tevez. Tevez da solo. Tevez. Tevez è l'ultimo dell'area. Li fa fuori tutti Tevez!
Welcome to More Than a Game, a podcast about the A-League, Premier League and more. My name's Tommy C and we're back for our, I think this is now our fifth annual A-League season preview pod. That's pretty crazy to say out loud. It's obviously been a long journey, but here we are once again. We're not necessarily playing quite as often as maybe what we used to or what we would like, but we're here and we are very today to our A-League preview pod this year. Tends to be one of the highest rating pods, so we know that's one that you like as well. Joining me on the pod today, we've got a frothy panel today, by the sound of things. Colby, how are you doing today, mate?
Good, mate. Happy to be here. Happy to be back. Dusting off the podcast mic, cracking a tin. What more could you want?
Mikey, you're also joining us today. How are you doing today?
Yeah, doing very well. Brought to you today by Hawks Lager. looking forward to getting stuck into it.
Damo's also on the pod this week. How are you doing, mate?
I'm good, mate. Good to be back. Thanks for having me.
And last but not least, we've also got Shannon. Are you still sporting A-League Radio on your chat there, Shannon, or...?
No, I'm not anymore, and I thought of preparing before the pod to get a can to crack on the microphone because I still haven't done a tinny, so I've got to pump water. I can just open it in the mic. That's not as good, but this one's for Run Them Memes. I know he loves the tinny ASMR.
Yeah.
Unless it's my Guinness.
I was thinking today of, you remember that viral Bentley ASMR for this week, of like that gorgeous model, like sort of tapping her fingernails on like all of the like the Bentley surfaces. And I thought, you know, if I was committed enough and knew how to use TikTok, I don't because I'm a millennial, then I would like come up with some sort of More Than a Game ASMR clip, which would just be like, you know, just a tinny and a microphone. It'd be fantastic, but you know, I'm not that committed to the meme. More Than a Game.
That's how we're going to get to the younger market.
Oh God.
Yeah.
Breaking into new markets.
In a social media intern.
All right, team. Let's get into a little bit of A-League season preview, obviously it's been a busy off season. The Australia Cup has kind of molded now into a bit of a pre-season cup now with the final being played before the season starts, which I don't know. I'm kind of got mixed feelings about that in isolation, but look, Sydney did win, the final, played last weekend. Sydney beat Brisbane Roar 3-1 in Sydney. A little bit controversial that it was actually even played in Sydney. We've got two Brisbane supporting fellas on the pod. Colby, what did you make of the game actually being moved to Sydney?
Oh, I mean, part of me wanted to be enraged about it, but I mean, when you have a scheduling nightmare that is trying to play at Suncorp, you know, with the cup final that you may or may not be in, then You know, you sort of, you open yourself up to that risk. So disappointing that it wasn't played at home for us, but we didn't really have a suitable stadium. So here we are.
I don't think Sydney have had enough finals recently. So I think it was good for them to get one in.
I mean, if there was one winner out of all of this, it was definitely the New South Wales government. At least they didn't attract any grievance about them doing sort of some special deal with the APL over the move. What about you,
finally,
Damo?
Finally, one for the little guy.
What about you, Damo?
Like Colby said, it is what it is. The club sort of used it as a bit of fodder to plead to the Queensland government about a new stadium, which they do pretty much every year. But, you know, it was almost like, look what we could have had if we had a stadium. So I don't know what the Queensland government have got left to give football after the Olympics and Ballymore and everything to go with that. But yeah, it is what it is. I didn't watch the game, so I've only seen highlights. So I'll have to lean on you guys to give me a review of the game. I was busy at a wedding out in country Queensland sending you guys pictures of my RM Williams.
Look, that was special in its own right. But look, moving on to the game, I won't ask you anything about it then, Damo. But Mikey, I'm pretty sure you tuned in. Did you make anything of the performance or the results, or is it pretty much just, you know, a glorified preseason tournament at this point?
Well, I prefaced at the start of the pod, I did watch it, but I was still having a bit of a sook about being knocked out in the semi-final stage. So I was very happy when Brisbane looked like they might get it done. I gradually lost interest towards the end there. But yeah, I mean, if this is what it takes for Steve Corica to stay at Sydney FC for a bit longer, I'm happy.
More on that shortly, I think. And Shannon, I'm not sure if you actually watched the game. It seems like I know I had it on, but I think I was a bit like you, Mikey. I was sort of like half paying attention to other things while it was on. Shannon, what did you make of James Waddingham's performance? Is he the next Harry Kewell? Is he the next Mark Viduka? Is he both? And noting as well that he scored overnight as well for the young Socceroos, I think against France.
So against Netherlands. Can I just jump in there, Tommy? His name's Thomas Waddingham, and that's my boy. So we don't get confused there.
At least I didn't call him Waddington like they were on the Australia Cup feed. All right, Thomas. I feel like I should know that name, right? Anyway, Shannon.
How far from home?
Look, Damo kind of stole my thunder. Originally, when we were thinking about the A-League, I had him locked in as my boy sort of at the end of last season. I was like, okay, he's going to be my boy. He's going to be a breakout star, but he's done too well that I think putting him as my boy would be a bit of a cliche, because everyone kind of knows that this kid's got a good potential and a good future. And funnily enough, I know a lot of people wrote Ross Aloisi off, but Ross Aloisi knows how to get this boy playing good football, and the sky's the limit in terms of potential. Absolutely love the kid. He's a star.
Shannon, if you can't have Waddingham, I think Shea Cahill might be free.
You know, I'm actually very excited to see him play, because there was all like this aura about him that he only got into Everton because of his father's name, which perhaps may have been true, but you kind of don't spend that much time in a Premier League academy without at least knowing how to play football. So I'm very curious to see if this kid actually has some talent and if he can sort of break away from the shackles of that famous last name.
Well, I'm also sure the Popovich brothers are probably all right footballers, but it doesn't mean that they got the jobs purely on the back of that. I think without his surname, he might not be, we might not be talking about him right now.
Which is probably true, given that the question was around James Thomas Waddingham. So, boys, I do note that I do feel like Thomas Waddingham is approaching Iran Kunda sort of levels of hype, sort of at least by Australian or at least by A-League fans and A-League followers over the last couple of weeks. So I think this one does get a pass, I think, if we're all kind of acknowledging that we all want him as our boy, and so it kind of means no one can have him. All right, moving on though. So another thing that's been happening in preseason over the last couple of weeks is Melbourne City, MacArthur Bulls, and Central Coast have each been playing in the Asian Champions League and the AFC Cup. It had some mixed performances to date. Have any of you guys tuned into any of the games? Mikey, I know that the City ACL games have probably been most of interest to you, more so than maybe the other guys or the other clubs. But have you been tuning into the games? Have you made it to one of the I think there's been one home game.
Yeah, one home game at Melbourne Rectangular, I think we call it. I will butcher the name of the team. Event fought at Kofu. I just called them Kofu. I'm not sure. But they were their fan base, just for a start, were fantastic. I'll get more into it in my review. But I just think possibly we were very disappointed with, like, all the fan base was pretty disappointed with the 0-0 result, because they are a J2 side, a second division Japanese team, who apparently didn't field their first team. But they've then gone on to beat the Thai champions in the group. I think maybe just the standard of Japanese football is probably better than most Australians would know about. So I think that was an okay result on the balance of things. The other game we played, I'm not even going to try to pronounce their name. They're the team Tim Cahill, Speak of the Devil, played for right before coming to Melbourne. They used to be Greentown. Now they're something else I'm not going to attempt. But we started a lot better there. There was a lot more intensity. But again, there's been a lot of there's been a lot left to be desired from Melbourne City in the ACL so far.
Yeah, it's really tricky, I find, like, trying to read too much into some of these performances, and you don't really know anything at all about the opposition either. Like MacArthur, they've had two wins so far, 3-0 win and an 8-2 win. Yes, 8-2. Mariners also had a 9-0 win, but have also lost 1-0. So, look, it just seems like there is a wild breadth of teams and the quality. And also, I guess, the travel plays a huge part in some of the results and performances as well. And also the fact that, you know, each of these three teams are in preseason as well. Like some teams will be sort of working on trying to be peaking towards the end of the season as well. So it's a wild time. And look, I think each of these teams will definitely be sort of be doing far better in those respective competitions in this about sort of 2 months' time as you approach the end of the group stage. Look, I'm hoping personally to get to one of the ACL group stage games. I haven't been to one yet. I know it's going to have, maybe it isn't going to have, you know, an incredible atmosphere. It's not going to be a packed stadium, but, you know, still would like to tick that box. Boys, one other thing that's kind of happened over the last couple of weeks is that it was kind of rumoured about the end of the Destination New South Wales deal between the APL and New South Wales government for the grand final. Do you guys think that that's actually dead, or have we just kind of tried to will its death over the last couple of weeks? Shannon?
Look, I wouldn't be surprised if it's not dead at all, if it's one of those things where it's rumoured that it might happen and it's still, you know, is the same deal, because unfortunately with contracts and politics and all this sort of stuff, as much as we want things to happen, they usually don't. They usually don't, like, aren't able to backpedal on big decisions like this. So, you know, I'm a very optimistic guy, but I just can't really see this not still being a thing for the whole duration of the deal.
Do you guys think that it could evolve into sort of more of a magic round, and that obviously that's likely to be sort of more acceptable to a lot of A-League fans, but do you think that would get the same bang for buck as for, you know, APL and for the New South Wales government?
It'd be a smart thing to do. I don't think they'll ever get the bang for their buck that they ever wanted due to the negative backlash. It's kind of, you know, left such a bitter taste in people's mouths that it seems like no matter what they do, even if they do the best possible move, this amazing festival of football, magic round, whatever, I just think the damage has already been done and it's never going to achieve anything close to the heights that it could.
When you said festival of football, then I shuddered. Like, I'm so over this corporate nonsense language around the grand final deal. It better be dead, because if it isn't dead, my interest in finals is more than dead. It's dead. It briefly got reanimated when, you know, rumors of the deal being dead came about. But if it doesn't, I think that's gonna reopen a lot of wounds. I think they have to find a way out of this. Whether magic round's a good idea or not, I don't know. But anything's better than keeping it the way it is.
No, fair enough. And I think, like, a lot of people who have disengaged from the A-League to some degree, like, I'm not sure if undoing that deal would necessarily ensure their re-engagement with the league. Like, it seems like they might just sort of be pleased about the change, but I'm not necessarily they would sort of come running back to the league immediately. So a little bit sad, I guess, there. Was one other big bit of news in the last week was the Auckland preferred bidder was announced. So excuse me, American billionaire Bill Foley, who's the owner of Bournemouth in the Premier League and also FC Lorient. He has been announced as the preferred, billionaire, the preferred bidder. He also runs a, kind of like a football group called Black Knight FC, which sets us up perfectly for the Auckland Knights or the New Zealand Knights to re-enter the league, which would just unwittingly just be a fantastic own goal by both the A-League and just everyone involved. It would just be fantastic. How much are you guys hoping that we'll actually be called the Auckland Knights?
I think there's an enormous chance of it, because the company that he owns is actually called Black Knight Sports and Entertainment. They also, they're the Las Vegas Golden Knights, they own, who are the current Stanley Cup champions in the NHL. So, you know, the fact that coming in and there's history of the Knights name in Auckland, it kind of makes sense. I think they'll end up being called Auckland FC and unofficially known as the Knights, rather than make that sort of a legal trading name.
I think, Damo, they're going to be known as Auckland FC : The Dark Knight Rises.
Fantastic. Boys, how important for the league and for New Zealand football do you think it is that Auckland Knights, or whatever they are called, the Auckland Dark Knights, how important is their success?
Well, I think if we're going to include New Zealand teams in our league, we've got to make a choice one way or the other. And the FA seemed, or the APL have seemed to back that with the Auckland bid. I think let's go all in on this. And to have a New Zealand derby, I think, is going to only do good things for the league, for, you know, broadcast rights in New Zealand and, you know, more and abroad. And yeah, look, I'd love to see the Knights back, but I know this is more of an audio medium, but when this started, I thought I'd just pull up the Football Kings jersey here.
Oh,
I'd love to see the Football Kings come back to the A-League.
Flex. That's like a real hipster flex, isn't it?
Oh, hell yeah. Got to do it while you can.
Indeed. Yeah, boys, it's a funny one, right? Like, I mean, Wellington do already have a derby that they play in. It may not necessarily move the needle heaps, the distance derby. But look, I guess this could be something that, you know, helps football to grow in New Zealand. It might help with attendances and I guess also engagement with, like, New Zealand media as well. And so be interesting to see, I guess, how that plays out over the next couple of weeks. Once, you know, they're probably going to be likely to start announcing things like who the CEO is going to be. They probably aren't going to be far away from having to appoint someone who's going to be, you know, putting together a squad and trying to finalize when they're going to be playing out of it and those kind of real basics there. And then obviously, you know, as we approach sort of midway through the A-League season, I would anticipate that we would start to hear some rumors of players that they're looking to sign and that kind of thing.
Have we considered the impact of the distance derby if an Auckland team is admitted? Because I think they'd be further away than Wellington. Does this throw everything into disarray?
We'll have to get New Zealand correspondent Jesse Farmer to give us some information on that.
I have to get out our compasses and protractors to figure out like who is actually further away from Perth.
Good shout though, Mikey. I like that.
You got me thinking now. Anyway.
Distance derby and distance derby two.
The distance derby.
The distance derby rises.
Nice.
All right, and the other big bit of news, which was kind of buried in the season launch this week, was that it seems as though they're very close to finalising who the preferred bidder is for the Canberra A-League team as well. The Canberra A-League team and the Auckland A-League team are meant to be entering the league at the beginning of next season. So that is obviously exciting news as well. How the league is actually going to handle two extra teams, and I guess, you know, sort of to some degree diluting the player base further. That's obviously, I think, going to be a bit of a challenge for the league. But I know a lot of people have been advocating, saying that there's still plenty of talent in the NPL that hasn't been tapped into. So maybe the league will be just fine, but it will be interesting, I guess, to see two brand new teams in 12 months' time, and looking forward to talking about them in a bit more detail on next year's season preview pod. Was, I guess, general comment before we start talking a little bit of A-League fantasy. What's your interest level in the A-League at right now compared to, you know, the Prem and previous years? I mean, we talked about like the grand final deal and that kind of thing. And obviously, you know, our lives have evolved quite a bit and changed quite a bit in the last 5 years since we started doing this pod as well. So very interested to hear like what your thoughts are on, I guess, the A-League for you personally right now. Shannon?
Pretty much because I've spent the past 2 years writing a book about the history of the A-League, and particularly I'm on the last little stretch of it, the last, you know, month or two of writing it, I've just been thinking about and writing about the A-League so much that my interest in the new season is a little bit watered down just because I'm a bit burnt out. I am obviously excited to watch the football, but at the moment, you know, pumping myself up for the A-League season, it's a bit lower than it's ever been, just purely because I burned myself out from thinking about the A-League. But I'm sure once I watch that first match, the spark will get reignited 100 times again.
Man, I'm not going to lie. Hearing someone say they were burnt out from the A-League is a phrase I never thought I would hear. Given that we have the world's longest off season. Colby, what about you, mate?
Yeah, look, I'm probably a bit the opposite. Like before I started doing prep for this pod today, I was probably my interest level were probably pretty like mixed. I did enjoy Brisbane's cup run, apart from that second half in the final. But yeah, I was pretty mixed going into it. But now that I've looked at the teams, I've looked at the players coming in, I'm getting excited about seeing some, you know, the new faces like we do every season. You know, it's you know, pretty exciting new start. I'm excited. I know you're going to get to fantasy. I'm excited for another season of A-League's fantasy. So yeah, no, it's coming back. I can feel the A-League tingle.
Damo.
Yeah, look, it's between everything else that's going on, trying to keep engaged in many things is difficult, but I'm excited about this A-League season. I'm excited about watching local football again. Football is in a good time zone. I really struggle to keep in touch with European football in the middle of the night these days. And so sitting down to watch a game at 4 p.m. on a Sunday afternoon, that seems like an absolute dream to me. So, I'm really excited about the A-League this year.
I think as well for you, Damo, like your eldest son is approaching the age as well where, like, you know, you could take him to a game and he would be able to, you know, absorb Matilda's football, right? So, like, that's
he's going to be so confused when Sam Kerr's not playing.
Yeah, we were watching a game the other day, and he asked me where. Well, actually, we were watching the Socceroos game the other day, and he asked me where Sam Kerr was, and I was like, "Well, Sam Kerr doesn't play in this team. She plays in the Matildas, which is the women's team." And he was like, "Huh? Well, where's Sam Kerr? Why is she not playing?" I was like, "That's a good point. She probably should be."
I feel like it's not necessarily just like, you know, toddlers that are looking at the Socceroos going, "Where's Sam Kerr? Like, why is she playing?" It's probably a more widespread opinion than what you'd think. Yeah. And you, Mikey, how I know that you're always keen for the A-League, right? Like you're pretty much up there with Shannon in terms of being like burnt out on the A-League pretty much before the season's even started, right?
Yeah, I echo Shannon's sentiments there. I'm not writing a book, I must point out, though. But, compared to previous seasons, I think it is more kind of dulled a bit. I think there's still kind of that lingering disappointment from the all the stuff that happened post the grand final decision. But I realise, you know, people like us on an A-League podcast aren't necessarily like a good example of the greater population. I think the people that were more casual fans that I'd interact with, that their interest is like, then their knowledge is pretty down. I don't really have the same conversations with people about the A-League that I did. I don't think people were aware that the Australia Cup was on or that the Asian Champions League was on. It's just not part of the discourse amongst sport fans at the moment. So I think maybe things will turn around come round one. I don't know. I hope so. But yeah, people bolted on people like me and Shannon and you guys. I think our interest kind of stays the same.
Fair enough. For me, boys, it's a funny one, right? Like, you know, not quite at the level of Colby and Damo, where like life has sort of limited the ability to follow the and prep for the league. But I do kind of feel like the league. Like there's always going to be sort of like big years and lower years. And I think there's a low key sort of buzz around the league as opposed to like a high key sort of buzz around the league. And I don't know if that's still with like sort of who, like what players have come in or the fact that, you know, for example, like Goodwin has left. I think that sort of, that might play a bit of a role. If you look at like the A-League marketing campaign, for example, like obviously, Courtney Vine was heavily featured from an A-League-W perspective, but from a men's perspective, like Irin Kunda, he was sort of like the focus. And like he's obviously very, very young. And like there isn't really even an Australian sort of player with like a huge degree of sort of cut through at the moment. Maybe Lecky, but I mean, he's injured at the moment as well, which isn't great. But
seems to me, Tommy, that the sort of strategic direction of the two A-Leagues has really sort of solidified now, with the A-League's men being, you know, really clearly seen as a development league, and the A-League women being, they're definitely trying to maintain it as a destination league. And I think you've just perfectly encapsulated it in that, you know, comparison there, Tommy. Like Irin Kunda's the star boy for the A-League men. And Courtney Vine and, you know, these other sort of big names that they're able to keep and attract to the A-League's women, headlining that.
It's a good point, right? Like in the dub, there's a bunch of like women's internationals from a range of different, like, you know, top tier countries, right? Like there's some American players and Chilean players, and just today for Canberra there was a Serbian international who was like absolutely blowing up, right? And we just don't really have that in the A-League men's. And
blowing up because she was angry like every other Serbian, or blowing up is in like playing well.
No, she scored two goals in a 4-4 draw, mate. It was low key blowing up, not actual Serbian blowing up.
Sorry to all Serbian listeners there.
Yeah, well, I was just going to say, I think there's more than enough players we do have in the A-League men's to market, but I don't think we do a good enough job of that. I think if you go on Paramount right now and you go down to the A-League, it's still got a picture. Jamie McLaren, he's still there. I think the other two are Adam Lafondra and Jason Cummings still on the A-League little icon there. So I think we could be doing even just a little things like that, and we kind of pick some people to build heroes around and kind of be the poster boys for the league. But yeah.
That's a great point, Mikey. And like in preparing for this pod today, I was going onto the A-League's website, formerly Keep Up, now again
A-League.
And you know, I just noticed that, you know, we're a week out from kickoff of the season and there are barely any stories on there that are like, it's like, you know, on page one, you're seeing articles that are like 2 weeks old, and you know, there wasn't a lot of stuff for me to really like sink my teeth into when I was trying to prepare for this pod. I was really having to go to like Wikipedia and Transfer Market and the sources to, you know, try and figure out what was going on.
And like, we're also, I guess, at the leading edge kind of thing as far as preparation for like this pod. Like, I would anticipate that like the A-League pod will put out an episode, like a sort of a like a preview episode for the ahead of the A-League men's first round. I wouldn't be surprised to see even Fox Sports sort of occasionally spit out like a football related podcast. Ooh. So I think, yeah, exactly right. And most of that's kind of Ange related at the moment, but
last thing I saw from Fox was the Code Sports, which I think is the Foxtel News Corp kind of sports media page. And all they post is about how the A-League should go back to Foxtel, I think, is the only content they create.
Adam Peacock just wants more work.
Yeah, Adam and Robbie. Adam Peacock
needs to earn his supper. Yeah.
And Robbie Slater, both of them like don't have a lot of work going on at the moment at a company that doesn't have any football content. Although I think I think Adam Peacock still does some AFL related stuff.
He does tennis. He's big into tennis. He goes to all the Opens all around the world and does a little bit of AFL and rugby league stuff as well. But yeah, he works for News Corp. I mean, he's a really good writer, to be fair. His articles are really good.
It is weird seeing these pundits out of context. I think Mark Bosnich was doing the Rugby World Cup or something like that.
You feel like you're being cheated on? Like,
To Brenton Speed commentated the NRL Women's Grand Final, and I turned it on and was like, "Is that Brenton Speed of all people?"
Was he complaining about a refereeing decision for 60 minutes?
most likely, yeah.
Oh, the bunk has taken a really long time.
When you call him Brenton Speed, that was real, like, you know, when someone's girlfriend or wife calls like one of your mates by their first name and you're like, Brenton? It's Brenton.
Yeah, he's lost speedy privileges.
Yeah. Alrighty, boys, we'll keep things moving though. One final thing before we get into some predictions chat is as Colby alluded to, wanted to talk a little bit of fantasy before we get into things. Probably the big thing for me this year is last year that there were 12,000 people played on the official platform. Do you think there'll be more people or about the same or less people that will play this year?
If no one wants to take that, I'd say less in one word.
Yeah. I was going to say less. And the reason I think why is last year was kind of it was heavily promoted. Hey, we finally got A-League fantasy. Everyone get around it. This is awesome. And out of the 12,000 people, I would assume that probably a third of them just, you know, picked a team and they never looked at it again. And so you're probably going to think, you know, those 3,000-4,000 people are not even going to bother making a team this year, or maybe some of them might, you know, so you've already dropped a few thousand there and they haven't even promoted at all leading into the season. As we said in the preseason pod last year, it's the easiest way to engage people in watching football every week is a fantasy league. And the fact that they haven't been promoting and doing a lot of sort of advertisement and stuff around, hey, join A-League fantasy, get to know the players, all this kind of stuff, sort of tells you that it's an afterthought, and when it's an afterthought, it's sort of dead and buried, isn't it?
Was I guess it maybe off the back of that, I'm not sure how many bites I'll get for this, but I mentioned earlier that Craig Goodwin's obviously left the league. He was sort of the one sort of must own player last year. Is there any early calls for who might be the must-have player for this season? Shannon?
Tolgay Arslan from Melbourne City. Best player in the league by a country mile, you can already tell in preseason. He's half-cooked. Like, he's nowhere near fitness, and he's just absolutely taken the piss. He is such a good player.
You've done my entire review.
No pressure on him, but Jesus Christ, what a baller.
Look, before anyone else says anything more about this, I've got him down as my boy, so I know he's under 23, but I'm going early, all right?
My whole preview is ruined now.
Tommy, he's probably older than you, mate. How can he be your boy?
My notes for Melbourne City is just like two words, Tolgay Arslan.
Tommy, rather than your boy, maybe you should be your daddy.
Well, Mikey, I'm sorry to do that to you, but it sounds like you're going to come up with some more content for your preview for Melbourne City in the next 20 minutes. So good luck with that, mate. to be honest, boys, I reckon, Shannon, you bang on the money as well, right? Like, I think this guy could blow up from a performance perspective, but also a fantasy perspective as well. It's a bit of a free hit for a lot of teams leading into the first 3 weeks of the league, given that there's no price changes for 3 weeks. So I think a lot of people will watch him and then go, I've got to have this guy on the team, even if he isn't sort of scoring a lot of points. I'm pretty sure he's on penalties ahead of Jamie McLaren. So, City are always going to get like penalties, right? So,
Tommy, we can tell you're deep in fantasy research already, mate. This is, I'm loving this. But there's been a pertinent question in the chat from Sal. He asks, how many boys does Tommy have? And I think that we really need to just address that right now. You need to get it out there because, I know you're one for a laundry list and you just need to keep a lid on this.
Let's not take that out of context either.
I wasn't going to say that.
Green grab that. Yeah.
All right. So I've got three. Not including, and everyone's already got Aaron Kuna and Waddingham, right? So Tolgay Arslan, that's the first one. Panache Madania from Adelaide, and Noah Bodich at the Woo. They're my three boys this year. Yeah. I think they're the three that I think are gonna do bits, right? Obviously, you got a new player into the league who's a bit more experienced, young Australian player who I think might sort of make his first sort of real impact on the league, and then Noah Bodich, I think. Jeez, like the sky's the limit as far as how big an impact he could have this season. So they're my boys.
I just think we need to remind everyone that, your boy's not necessarily someone who you think is gonna smash it, but it's someone that you love even if they're a bit shit and you gas them up, kinda like how Lockie Wales is Shannon's boy. He's a bit of a dog, but Shannon, every time he scores, I'll get Shannon in my DMs or something like that. It's a player like that it perfectly captures what it is to be someone's boy.
And sometimes your boy is a man.
Perfect example has been me with Craig Goodwin for the last 7 years, even when he wasn't in the A-League.
Look, I'll pay that because you have been on, you got in on the ground floor for Craig Goodwin, so I'll allow that. Like, there's receipts for that. So, boys, we've pretty much transitioned straight into predictions and stuff. So, while we're talking our respective boys, I think let's go all in on who your boys are. Damo, you were just talking about Craig Goodwin being your boy, but he's gone. So, he could still be your boy, but I mean, it's time to move on.
Yeah, unfortunately. I've got a couple. I mentioned Thomas Waddingham before, but since we're not allowed to have him, it's Johnny Yull. I'm still in on Johnny Yull. Have been for a couple of years. Yull, how you pronounce it. I think it's going to be a big year for him. I'll talk about it more in the Adelaide preview. But then I've got a couple of other boys. I've got Corey Brown, my boy's back.
That's Corey my boy.
We can share him. Corey Brown's my boy. Jay Barnett, still my boy at Adelaide as well. And then I got one up and comer. I got Rylan Brownlee from Brisbane Roar. So they're my boys this year.
Nice. Mikey, who you got?
Well, yeah, I mean, the ones that aren't taken now, I'm just going to go, well, like I said, sometimes your boy can be a man. I don't know if it was on here. or if it was on Talking City, but I just made up that we were going to sign Aziz Bajic, and now he's here. So Aziz, you're my boy. The only other person I'm going to mention in my Perth preview, Daniel Benny, who scored against West Ham.
Stole mine.
Hey, guys, there's plenty of boys to go around.
Seemingly not. We all want the same ones. But you any more, Mikey?
No, I was just trying to get a few out before they were all taken.
Well, we're just going to have to shout ours out like simultaneously to make sure.
Like hungry, hungry hippos, you know, for the boys.
Yeah. Shannon, who you got, mate?
My boy is not in the league anymore, unfortunately. It was Yaron.
What do you mean?
Sosa.
Lockie Wales still at West Ham.
Yeah, Lockie Wales is still around.
He was another one.
He's doing something, presumably.
Doesn't Sorry, have mate. To be good.
Go on.
And Daniel Benny was absolutely my boy till Mikey stole it. So I don't really have a boy coming into this season. I'm still on the Johnny Yule hype train. Whether or not this is going to be the season his back finally lets him play some football or not is a different question. But yeah, I don't have a standout boy aside from Daniel Benny, who I think he's probably the best young talent aside from the obvious ones that are, you know, Iran Kunda, Waddingham. He's just an absolute star in the making. So I'm still going to go Daniel Benny.
I wasn't going to interrupt, but since you've brought him up again, hasn't Johnny Yule done his ACL?
Not that I've heard, unless he did it in a preseason match today, which Adelaide played. So,
oh no, I think this is a couple of weeks ago. I remember I thought he copped like a pretty significant injury, which, you know, I was like sort of off the back of Damo talking him up last year. I thought, oh yeah, this guy, like he seems pretty good. Oh geez, he's like 16 and he's scoring worldies in the NPL. Oh geez, okay, yep, this guy could be the next big thing. And then bang, knee injury, and I was like, oh, okay, that's him finished. One other thing, there is a really young prospect who's just signed, I think, for Perth, guy by the name of Bruce Kamau. You might have heard of him before. He could be a candidate for being your boy.
He'll be a young prospect when he's 45.
He's back. He's everyone's boy. We're a Bruce Kamau podcast. Let's be honest.
Socceroos bolter.
Eternal boy.
You might go to the Asian Cup. Might go to the Asian Cup in January.
He's a young more. Prospect in the same way that Belgium are everyone's dark horse every single World Cup.
Yeah. Belgium
the Damari, or the Damari Gray is going to have a good year this year.
Oh, dear. All right, boys. We've got our boys out of the way. Who are you all predicting for premiers?
This is pretty grim, Tommy. I think Sydney are going to sweep it this year. I reckon they're going to... That'd be premiers and champions. In addition to the cup, I think they're going to do the treble. I think it's going to be a sad return to regular programming.
Shannon?
I want to make sure I'm looking dead into the camera. My bold prediction this year is that Melbourne Victory are going to be premiers and go the whole season undefeated. Whether or not the APL delivers a golden toilet seat, it's another again. Question.
We've been there. We've
I'm
been
just
here
kidding. I do think Victory are going to have a good season, but honestly, I'm kind of feeling it's going to be one of the Sydney teams, and I've been tossing up in my head which one, so I'm just going to go with Colby off the back and say probably Sydney FC.
Yeah, for me, I'm going Sydney as well. Do either of you two, Mikey or Damo, have anyone different for premiers?
Well, I'm annoyingly going to back my team in again. I reckon four times champions. Here we go. Melbourne City in the finals. Who knows what on earth would happen? Maybe the Central Coast will score six again. Who knows? But yeah, I've got Melbourne for premiers, Melbourne for champions. But again, I don't know who's going to be the champion.
Damon.
I was sort of sitting on the fence, same as Shannon, between Wanderers and Sydney FC as who I think might win the league. So could come down to the derbies. They could be enormous games this year. So it'll really hang in the balance on those games. But I'm going to say Wanderers just to be different to the rest of you. because I really couldn't decide between the two.
Really good, I think, for the Sydney Derby, which had kind of lost a little bit of its prestige over the last couple of years, with Sydney being so dominant. But I think both Sydney teams being good is going and like those derbies essentially possibly deciding the league. Like I agree with you, Damo. I think they're going to be really, really important in terms of like splitting the two teams as well. I think they're both going to be right up there this year as well. So I think for those derbies to really have a lot riding on them, I think is going to make them just fantastic. And hopefully we'll get more out of them in terms of like spectacle and you know, positive publicity as well. In terms of champions, anyone got anyone else other than Sydney?
I went Adelaide. I think, yeah. Look, I think Adelaide can make a good run in finals.
You know, Goodwin's gone.
Who's going to score the goals?
Yeah.
Well, just wait to my preview, and I'll talk about it.
I don't want to segue off, but don't ask me who's my wooden spoon.
Oof, I've got Adelaide 11th. Yeah.
Wow. Jesus.
I've just got like my brain is just fried right now because I'm like, what do you mean Adelaide can't win the final if they don't make finals? That doesn't work. It doesn't work like that.
Wow, that's a bold prediction, Damo.
Yeah, that is up there with
take that
Melbourne victory going to go undefeated for the season.
Oh, I wouldn't go that far, but I would definitely go as far as I think last year, Colby, you said that Royal were going to make finals, so I'll put it in that sort of category.
Oh, come on!
Some respect. They missed out by like 3 points, didn't they?
Yeah, true. Boys, who's wooden spoon? Who's getting the wooden spoon then?
Knicks.
Adelaide.
I've got Newcastle.
Look, yeah, Newcastle. Don't hate me, everybody, but Central Coast Mariners. Yeah, it's going to be
I think there's going to be a big.
Don't think you're wrong. Yeah, I don't think you're wrong. Yeah.
Mariners won 9-0 in the AFC Cup match, but they didn't look good at all. If that makes any sense, they don't look a good squad at the moment, and they haven't replaced any of it.
I love that second and third could potentially be 11th and 12th.
Yeah.
What happened there?
That's why we love the A League, isn't it?
And that's another bold prediction too. The Mariners are going to do a Melbourne victory.
Or invade the pitch.
No, I think they finished first and then last. Or it was very high. They finished very
second,
high.
Oh, you're right. It was like second or third. Yeah. Yeah. I think that's it's not as ridiculous as it sounds for Central Coast to drop off. I don't think they'll finish last. I think there's two teams in my view that are going to be sort of clear trash in the same way that, clear trash this season. For me, it's the Jets, though. I think that the Jets squad is pretty trash. I'm looking at it going, like, where are goals coming from? How are they stopping goals? Like, it's just grim pretty much across the board as far as it goes for Jets squad and their prospects for the season, I think. So, and the Wellington and the Knicks as well, like, they're just that's real grim. But I'll go into that in a little bit more detail later as well. Boys, Golden Boot, who's your predictions? Anyone other than J-Mac? Wait, maybe is anyone actually predicting J-Mac?
Yeah,
I think once the new players can start to read his runs a bit better, he'll pick up where he left off.
I think if you had to say, like, who are you picking if you're not picking J-Mac, I think actually Taggart could be a smoky if he can stay fit. That's big asterisk on his fitness, but that's, you know, he's a pretty creative Perth team behind him. So,
man, it's up there with when I said that like West Ham season was riding on Jack Wilshere staying fit.
No! No, you know what my equivalent of that is, actually? I think Sydney season is depending on Rodwell staying fit.
Yeah, which not good, right? But I guess.
Can I throw a smoky out here? I can't quite remember his name, but I'm pretty sure his name is Fabio Gomez, Sydney's Brazilian number 9.
Yeah.
He played like, 15 minutes in the cup final, and he looked like, I know defenses were tired. It was one of those games, but he absolutely cooked. He looks like someone.
He's going to have Lolly and Mac on either side of him supplying him. So, yeah.
if he gets any service, he's going to be the guy to take the golden boot away from McLaren.
Boys, I'm not predicting that J-Mac will win it again this year. I think we're going to see a bit of a drop-off for McLaren this year. I think he started to lose a bit of a yard of pace, which has been really important for him as well. So I'm going big, but I think it's going to be another Australian that's going to win the Golden Boot this year. I'm all in on Noah Bottage this year. I think I'm not saying he's going to be the next Mark Viduka, but at the same time, I do think he has enormous potential. And, you know, in a weak field of strikers this year, I think there is a potential that there could be someone other than J-Mac who might surprise us this year. I also think the Fabio Gomez shout is a good one too. The Brazilian Mikhail Antonio, I'm calling him.
You know they're Western United are managed by John Aloisi, who loves an aged 11. So he's definitely going to be starting Rukavica and bringing on Bodic for 5 minutes at the end.
Yeah, I know. But look, I've gone big on Noah Bodic, right? Like, even if knowing John Aloisi, like, Bodic will just, like, blow up in the final third of the season and... like, everyone will be saying how great a season he had, but he won't have actually played that much football. But all right. Anyone got anyone else other than Jamie McLaren? Fair enough. Boys, your player of the season. Has anyone got anyone other than Tolgoy Arslan?
Joe Lolly.
Oh, no.
Good shout, Colby. I was big on Joe Lolly last year, but I don't know. In terms of, like, Johnny Warren, sometimes I think it's really hard to stand out, especially from a voting perspective or a points perspective in a really good team. And I think he will end up sharing points with Mac, Fabio Gomez, Caceres. And I think he's going to have a great year. I just don't think he's going to be the best player in the league, though, as a result of that.
I actually think I know it's not a position that will get the award, but a player who's going to stand out aside from Arslan, hopefully for Wanderers, is Hendricks. He's like a really good player. I haven't seen him play too many games, but I've seen him play a couple. And I'm very shocked that Wanderers managed to land him. And I'm wondering what the go is. Has he had some sort of personal issues? Has he had fitness issues? How did they land a player of this caliber at 26, 27? That's my big question.
I think he was playing for, like, Feyenoord or something, wasn't he?
He's played like a couple hundred games in the Eredivisie.
I think he's played for, like, he played for one of the big Dutch teams and therefore, like, had played, like, he's played in the Champions League, right? And like you say, at 26, like, that's ridiculous that we would have a player of that sort of caliber and experience and also at that age playing in the A-League. It's fantastic, but strange as well. Any final shouts for player of the season who we haven't mentioned yet? All right. First manager sacking. I'll go first since no one's jumping out. I'm picking Rado Vidicic. I think he will be maybe not necessarily first one sacked, but I don't think he'll make it through to the end of the season, though.
There's a lot riding on how the season starts. Like, if we're not picking up points in the first five games, I think he's in real trouble. But yeah, it sounds like a silly thing to say, but it all depends on what happens. I think any coach is could be sacked with a bad run of form. But yeah, I think Rado's definitely one of them. I felt like doubling down on Corica just because I don't like him, but I don't think he's going to get sacked.
He's just won the cup. Big pressure on Johnny Aloisi, though, after not making finals last year, after winning it the year before. So he's going to have big pressure on him.
I think Sturjoski's also got a lot of pressure on him, considering he's had that half a season that he's come in to kind of have no pressure, you know, get the team playing his football. Now he's got this team, big players. We forget what big players Mac Bulls have. And if he doesn't have a good start to the season, I don't see the board keeping him around.
Look, Wilshere might be in with a job within a few months.
Yeah. It's a funny one, the McBulls, right? Because, like, I agree. I think their squad looks great. like all of the ingredients are there, but I still look at Stojowski and think that he just did such a shit job last year, even off the back of all of the Dwight York stuff. I still don't think he did a very good job, and I feel like it's got underachievement written all over it, but it's what is underachievement relative for that squad. That's the tricky thing, right? Any other shouts for first manager sacked? All right. We've already done our respective boys, so it's time for favourite kits. I don't know about y'all, but I struggled to find a favourite kit because there were a lot of kits that I really liked. Was there anything that stood out to you?
I'm going to give some begrudging props to the Victory. I actually really enjoy their home kit. The it's a simple kit designed to do every year, but they never seem to really do it. Reminds me of 2014, just a thick white collar, a big chevron. It's easy to do, looks great. Pretty shit sponsor, but other than that, it's pretty good going.
One thing about it this year, which I don't think they've actually done before, is that it's only two-tone. Like, there's no grey in it like we would normally see in previous seasons. And, like, normally you'd go, oh, yeah, like, it's a bad kit. Like, it lacks depth because it's only got two colours, right? And in previous years, that's been good how it's had that third colour to sort of give it a bit of balance and interest. But actually, because it's different, it kind of looks good. So, actually, I don't mind that shout, you know. Any other shouts?
I actually really like, I know it's just a standard template jersey, but I really like the Bulls Asian Champions League jersey because I just love sort of like a black kit. And the Wanderers kit, I mean, every year it's pretty much a classic. They've had maybe one shit kit in their whole existence, and now that we've added us, it just, I don't know how to put this, it's just Western Sydney.
They've consistently had cool kits for really annoyingly. Like, they've gone from Nike to Kappa to Adidas in their whole history. Like, that's like
I haven't had very many misses. Yeah.
They've done really well to create a brand or a fashion brand out of their kits as well, which very few A-League clubs have been able to do over the years. And the Wanderers, right off the bat, became fashionable to wear, whether you support them or not.
But yeah, another quick shout. You mentioned the MacArthur ACL kit, Shah. I think their home kit is really cool, actually having solid proper stripes. And while we're talking about Asian kits, I think the Melbourne City Asian kits are so much better than the A-League kits. It's not even funny.
Yeah, that's a real miss for or own goal for me is that City didn't just use that ACL kit as their regular season kit. The home kit looks very, very similar to Sydney's kit with like that geometric design. I get, yeah, they said that it's meant to be like reflective of Amy Park, but it just looks shit.
Reflective of what they had at Puma, I think.
yeah, exactly. Does MacArthur actually have an AFC Cup kit or is it just their home kit? I only saw one kit when I was doing research this afternoon. And I don't think I've...
It's its own sort of kit, but it's essentially just a template you can get from their manufacturer with the number slapped on the front and the sponsors. But it's just a nice, in my opinion, it's a nice, simple design, which sometimes I think football teams try and overcomplicate kits. Mm. And sometimes going for a nice, simple design really works, which is why, in my opinion, Western Sydney Wanderers kits work every single year because it's a nice, simple design.
Also, a quick own goal. Melbourne City again for me physically seeing the kits twice in person before they even tease them.
That's amazing and terrible, boys. Back to the Bulls kit. Sorry, I was distracted doing research in the background about the AFC Cup kit, and I agree. In fact, the Bulls kit was my favourite kit of. Actually a very good cohort, I felt, of A-League kits this year. Shout outs because they haven't been said already, but I think the Roars home kit especially, but their away kit is good too. I like Perth's kit, although it's kind of in like an ugly good kind of way. And also, I like that the Wu have managed to again make a good kit out of essentially what is black and green stripes. It's been interesting, and you know, you sense that next year, oh geez, how are they going to go about creating like an interesting, good looking kit? But I'd be confident that they're going to be able to do that, because yeah, they haven't missed so far, I think, to date. West United. Boys, any more shouts or shout outs regarding favorite kits? All right, let's before we get into team by team previews, one final thing, and I think that some of you have already thrown out these to date, but what's your bold predictions?
Look, I'll jump in quickly before anyone get here. My bold prediction is that Brisbane will finish in the top four.
Ooh.
Ooh.
I'm surprised you didn't go for Waddingham to go Golden Boot or to go close.
No, look, I'll talk more about it in my preview of Brisbane Roar, which is coming up. But yeah, bold prediction, Brisbane will do really well this year.
I think the Glory are going to go deep. I think they're going to make the semi-finals.
Boys, I've got Brisbane and Perth to do very well this year. I don't think I'm quite as big on them as either of you two are, but I'm pleased to see that. I get the impression that there's a few of us at least that think that Brisbane and Perth might sort of turn a bit of a corner after being pretty average for the last couple of seasons. Shannon, what about you, mate?
I said this a few, like a while back on Twitter to a couple of City people, but...
weren't banned from it.
Terry Antonis, I think he's going to come good. This is the season where we're going to remember what a fantastic player Terry Antonis is. He's going to put the fitness issues, he's going to put the injury issues behind him, and he's going to be bargain of the season by far for Melbourne City.
That's huge. I think it's a real interesting season both for Terry Antonis and for Josh Brillante. They're the two players now that will have played for both sort of major Sydney and both major Melbourne teams, or both are... it's almost like a derby of having played for all four teams when those two teams play each other.
I get awarded the golden snake. as far as my bold prediction, I think if things don't work out for Rado Vidicic, we may see European manager Patrick Kisnorbo returning to the Melbourne Rectangular.
I feel like that would be the least surprising sort of thing to happen this A-League.
That's an italic season, right? Prediction, I reckon. Not a bold prediction.
Yeah. Underlined prediction. Colby, what about you, mate? Have you already said yours?
Glory was mine, Tommy, yeah.
Yeah, okay. I think everyone has said theirs then, which leaves me. Mine, I'm wondering how bold some of these actually are. I said Brisbane and Perth were going to do really well, but I haven't gone as bold as either of you two. I think at least one of them will make finals, which... I say, I'm not sure if that's actually that bold. I also think Adelaide are going to stink it up a bit this season. Again, I'm realizing now it's probably not that bold. I think City could finish as low as fourth, and maybe that's probably my boldest prediction, I think, out of the lot, because I think everyone's predicting that Mariners are going to regress as well. So maybe that's my bold prediction, is that City will finish fourth. Alrighty, and that wraps up part one of our A-League season preview pod. Tune in to the next episode for our team by team previews.